Well, good morning. I want to welcome all of you to our service. I do hope and pray that you're all doing well. And I certainly do look forward to the day when we can come together once again here at New Hope Baptist. I really do miss the fellowship that we have here at our church. But before we go any farther in our service, I want us to bow our heads and have a word of prayer. So please join me as we pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. Thank you for all of your blessings. Most of all, we thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, for rising again the third day that we could have eternal life as a free gift. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with our country as we deal with this virus. Lord, please help all of this to be over as soon as possible. And Lord, please continue to be with the individuals and families, businesses, the churches, people all over our country, all over our world that are being affected. Lord, just help and provide as only you can. And Lord, I pray you would be with our service now. Please bless this time we have together. Most of all, I ask you to bless and honor your word as it goes forth. Please give me the words to say, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, I'm going to read a card. This is from Miss Dolly, Miss Edna's niece. It says, thinking of you with love, New Hope Church family, sending special thoughts to keep you company, wishes to cheer you, and love to warm you. Happy Easter to all, Miss Edna and Dolly. She says, the nursing home has been on lockdown since March 14. I miss spending every week with her. But as soon as this virus is over, Lord willing, I will be there with my aunt. It was one thing not being able to see her when she was in Alabama, but to be 30 minutes away and can't be with her is driving me crazy. Thanks for all the prayers, thoughts, and cards, Dolly. And no doubt we need to continue to pray for the people in the nursing homes across this country that are being affected by this virus. That is a difficult thing. I know there's people all over who would love to go and be able to visit and spend time with their loved ones there. So it's quite a challenge. But let's continue to pray for them and continue to pray for our missionaries in these different countries. They are some of them in places that are really struggling with this virus. So let's remember to pray for them and lift them up before the Lord and pray that God would continue to take care of their needs as they try to get through this situation as well. But this time I'm going to try to play a song for you that I do hope will be a blessing to you. The title of it is I Could Sing About Heaven.
There's a promised land untouched by men, prepared for the saved and the blessed. A city built for swear, far away somewhere, as a home for the saints to rest. So many have tried, but they couldn't describe all the beauties on that bright shore. For it's never entered into the hearts of men what the Father has in store. I could sing about heaven for a million years and never get a story told. All the jasper walls and the gates of pearls and the streets made of pure gold. Even John the Revelator in the heavenly vision could never really say what he saw. I could sing about heaven for a million years and still I could never tell it all. From the throne there springs a glimmering stream of waters pure and sweet. And it flows by the tree of life on its way to the crystal sea. And the precious stones that the walls rest on are of 12 different kinds. Oh, and the night will cease, for the Prince of Peace is the light that forever shines. I could sing about heaven for a million years and never get a story told. Of the jasper walls and the gates of pearls and the streets made of pure gold. Even John the Revelator in the heavenly vision could never really say what he saw. I could sing about heaven for a million years and still I could never tell it all. I could sing about heaven for a million years and never get a story told. Of the jasper walls and the gates of pearl and the streets made of pure gold. Even John the Revelator in the heavenly vision could never really say what he saw.
I could sing about heaven for a million years, and still I could never tell it all.
Even
John the Revelator in the heavenly vision could never really say what he saw. I could sing about heaven for a million years, and still I could never tell it all.
Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles now to Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18. What a day it's going to be when we go to heaven. When we leave this old world behind. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18. Jesus says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. The past 2 weeks, I've been preaching a three-part message titled, He's Alive, He's Alive. And as you know, the foundation verse for this message is the one we just read, Revelation 1, 18. And I chose this verse because in Revelation 1, 18, Jesus dealt with all aspects of time as they relate to his sacrificial death and glorious resurrection. He deals with the past, the present, and the future. In the past, he was dead. He died for our sins. In the present, he's alive because he rose from the dead. In the future, he is alive forevermore. That's what Jesus said here in Revelation 1:18. Look once again with me at the verse. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. That means he is forever alive. Yes, he was dead, but he rose again the third day, and he is now alive forevermore. In Hebrews chapter 7, in verse number 25, the Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession. In that same chapter, in verse number 16, the Bible tells us that he was made our high priest, not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. And in this third and final part of the message, I'm going to remind you or make you aware of three realities that are the result of the resurrection and the endless life of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, there is his commission, then his comforter, and finally, his coming. And all three of these realities are seen in Acts chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles handy, I want you to turn with me now to the first chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 1. And we're going to look here at these three realities that are the result of the resurrection and endless life of the Lord Jesus. As I mentioned, the first is his commission. His commission. In Acts chapter 1, in verse number 3, we learn that after his resurrection, after he rose from the dead, the Lord Jesus stayed on earth for at least 40 days. If you'll look in Acts chapter 1 at verse number 3, you'll notice the Bible says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. It says in the verse, being seen of them. The them is a reference to his disciples, to the apostles. And it says, being seen of them 40 days. So Jesus stayed on this earth after his resurrection for at least 40 days. And during that time, the Bible says here, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. The word infallible means without error. As a matter of fact, it means incapable of being wrong or incapable of fallacy. And the Bible says that Jesus showed himself alive after his passion. The word passion refers to the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. Back some years ago, Mel Gibson put out a movie called The Passion of Christ, and it was about the sacrifice and the suffering of the Lord Jesus. So when it says passion here, that's what it's talking about. And it says that Jesus showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Notice it says by many infallible proofs. Not a few, but many. Many infallible proofs. That means that he proved beyond any shadow of a doubt that he was alive, that he had risen from the dead. He gave proof that could not be disputed, that he had risen from the dead. And in the verse, you see the two main ways that he gave these infallible proofs. First of all, he gave infallible proofs through sightings. Look at what he says here. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. So he showed himself alive through sightings. That means that his disciples saw him. He made different appearances to his disciples in this 40-day period of time. And the Bible actually records some of those sightings. And they're really interesting. You can read about them back in the Gospels, especially John's Gospel. You see there, in that gospel, there were times when his disciples, after the resurrection, were assembled in different places, and the Lord Jesus would just appear in their midst. He wouldn't even come through the door. He would just show up in their midst. And those are just some of the times that he appeared. There were a lot of times during these 40 days where he appeared to his disciples and showed himself alive. But not only through sightings, also we see in verse number 3, through speaking. It says, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So there were sightings, and then there were times when he spoke to his disciples. He said things to them. He talked with them. He taught them things, even after his resurrection. And one of the things that Jesus spoke about to his disciples before he went back to heaven was his commission. This first reality that I want us to talk about. And you see this down in verse number 8 of this chapter. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Take a look there and notice Jesus says to his disciples before he goes back to heaven, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's his commission. He gave this to his disciples before he went back to heaven. He made sure that he gave them their marching orders, so to speak. He laid upon them their number one responsibility as far as ministry is concerned. They were to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 8, he says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." There you see the power to witness. The power is not in us. The power is in the Holy Ghost. Through the Holy Ghost, we have power to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus. But he says in the verse, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye, the disciples, shall be witnesses unto me." That shows you the person they were to witness about. They were to witness, to testify. That's what a witness does. A witness testifies. They were to testify about the Lord Jesus. And notice he says, both in Jerusalem, that would be amongst your Orthodox Jews, then in all Judea, that would be other Jews, and in Samaria, that's people that were half Jew, half Gentile, and then unto the uttermost part of the earth, that would go out to the Gentiles throughout the world. And that matches what the Bible says in Mark 16:15. In that verse, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Go ye into all the world. That's the uttermost parts of the earth. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is the commission that Jesus gave his disciples. And I want us to understand that in the more than 2,000 years that have gone by, that commission has not changed. That is still the commission today for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I now in present day are to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus. We are to testify and tell every creature that we possibly can about Jesus Christ. And the main thing that we're to tell them is that he died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day so that they could be saved and spend eternity with him. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Last week, in the second part of this message, I talked about the gospel. I made reference to how Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that's what his disciples are to go into all the world and preach to every creature. We are to give the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to the people in this world. Because believing that gospel is the only hope that anybody has of going to heaven when they leave this world. If a person does not trust in what Jesus Christ did for them, they will not go to heaven. And the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. That is why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, be buried, and rise again the third day so that nobody would have to go to hell. But unless a person believes that gospel, they will not go to heaven. And the risen, ever-living Lord Jesus Christ has laid upon us the responsibility to tell the world that good news. That is our commission. I ask you before I move on in the message, as I have asked you in times past, how faithful are you being when it comes to your commission? How often do you talk to people about Jesus Christ? When was the last time you told anybody what they needed to know in order to be saved and go to heaven? I will say this, if as individuals and a church we're not being faithful to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we are not fulfilling the commission that our ever-living Lord has laid upon us. That is our responsibility. He gave us that commission before he ever went back to heaven. He told us to be witnesses unto him. So number one, there's the reality of his commission. The second reality I want to talk about is the reality of his comforter. Not only his commission, but his comforter. Again, here in Acts chapter 1, I want you to look with me at verses 4 and 5. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And we're going to read here some more things that Jesus said. Remember, I talked about him speaking to his disciples before he went back to heaven. And here we'll read some more of what he said, what he spoke to them before he left earth and went back to heaven. In verse 4 it says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them." This is talking about Jesus being assembled with his disciples. "Commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem." That doesn't mean that they were to never leave Jerusalem. Obviously, if they were going to fulfill his commission, they would eventually have to leave Jerusalem and go out to the different places. What he's talking about is them not departing from Jerusalem until the Holy Ghost was sent. Because notice it says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me." Now what promise is he talking about? Well, look at verse number 5. He says, "For John truly baptized with water." That John is not John the Apostle. That John is John the Baptist. He's talking about John the Baptist and how he baptized with water. That's why John was called John the Baptist, because he was a baptizer. He baptized, he immersed people in water. But Jesus says, "John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." That's a spiritual baptism. Jesus says, "I want you to stay in Jerusalem until you experience this spiritual baptism." If you read on through Acts chapter 1 and come to Acts chapter 2, you see that this is fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. After Jesus goes back to heaven, the disciples are assembled together in an upper room. And there, as they are assembled in that upper room, in one mind and one accord, as the Bible says, they are baptized with the Holy Ghost. You read about that in the early verses of Acts chapter 2. But I want you to look once again with me here at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 4. And notice Jesus says, "Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me." Jesus said, "I told you about the promise of the Father to send the Holy Ghost." And if you go back and read in the Gospels, especially John's Gospel, you see that before he died on the cross, Jesus talked in detail to his disciples about the Holy Spirit that would be sent on their behalf. If you go back and read, and we're not going to take the time to do it, but if you go back and start reading in John chapter 14, and you read through chapter 16, read John 14, 15, and 16, you see that Jesus gives a lot of details, a lot of information to his disciples about the Holy Spirit. He tells them that when the Holy Spirit comes, when he is sent from the Father, that he will teach, that he will guide them into all truth, that he will glorify the Lord Jesus, that he will testify of the Lord Jesus, that he will bring his words, the words of the Lord Jesus, to their remembrance. And then he teaches them that he will comfort. Whenever you read those chapters, you see that on different occasions, Jesus refers to the Holy Ghost as the Comforter. That's what he calls him. He says he's the comforter. Obviously, that shows that one of his ministries, one thing that the Holy Ghost does is comfort the people of God. And so you and I now have his comforter with us. Whenever a person accepts Jesus Christ now, the Holy Ghost comes to dwell in their body. At that very moment, not at a later time, but at that very moment, the Holy Ghost comes to dwell in them. And the Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And all of these things that Jesus talked to his disciples about, all of the things he said that the Holy Ghost would do, those are things that he does even now for us. Those are things, at least, that he wants to do for us. He wants to teach us the truth. He wants to guide our lives according to the truth. He wants to speak through us and give glory to Jesus Christ. He wants to speak through us and enable us, as I mentioned a moment ago, to testify on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will bring to our remembrance the words of the Lord Jesus. If we'll read the Word of God and put those words in our mind and in our hearts, then as we go through life, and especially as we face temptation, and as we face all of the different circumstances we go through in life, he will bring the words of Jesus Christ to our remembrance to show us the will of God for our lives. And not only that, but he'll comfort us. Again, he's called the Comforter. He is here now in our hearts and our lives to give us comfort. We have that source of comfort with us every single day as we go through life. Once you get the Holy Spirit of God, he comes in, as I said, to dwell. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and he never leaves. One thing Jesus said in talking to his disciples about the Holy Spirit, he said, he will abide with you, listen now, forever. He will abide with you forever. One thing that shows, or one thing that guarantees, is our security as God's people. If the Holy Spirit of God ever left us, we would not be saved. The Apostle Paul says that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if the Holy Spirit ever left us, we would be lost. We would lose our salvation. But Jesus Christ said that when he comes in, he doesn't come to stay temporarily. He comes to stay permanently. Jesus said he will abide with you forever. Now, it really doesn't matter what other people say. And there's a whole lot of people out there today preaching a bunch of nonsense about the Holy Spirit and about salvation. They tell you you can lose your salvation and that the Holy Spirit of God will leave you, but you need to listen not to them, but to your ever-living Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he said. He said the Holy Spirit will abide with you forever. What that means is I'm secure. If you're saved, you're secure. And all along our journey, we have his comforter. He's there with us to comfort us in all the different times that we need comfort. And I tell you one thing, and you know it to be the truth. You need comfort an awful lot in this life. A lot of things happen. And thank the Lord, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead and is alive forevermore, we have with us permanently and forever the gift of his comforter. He is with us at all times. So first, there is the reality of his commission. He has given us our marching orders. He has told us what to do. We are to testify about him to this world. But then also, there's the reality of his comforter. Jesus Christ has sent his comforter, and he indwells every person that has received him as their Savior, and he will abide with them forever. But then thirdly, I want to give you this third reality. That is the reality of his coming. The reality of his coming. Because Jesus Christ is not dead and buried, no longer exists, we know that there's a day in the future when he will return. We have that assurance. Look here with me in Acts chapter 1 at verse number 9. Acts chapter 1, verse number 9. The Bible says, and when he had spoken these things, the things that you read there in the previous verses, while they, the disciples, beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. That's the ascension of the Lord Jesus. That's when he went back to heaven. And as the Bible says many times, sat down at the right hand of God. And there, as I mentioned in the introduction, he ever lives to make intercession for us. But in verse number 10, the Bible says this, and while they looked, while the disciples looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, they're watching Jesus Christ ascend back up into heaven. Man, it would have sure been wonderful to be there and see that on that day. But you know what I think's even better? Is us getting to see him return. Because look at what he says, what it says. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Why are you standing here looking up into heaven like that? He says, or they say, this same Jesus, not some different Jesus, not another Jesus, this same Jesus, the one that had walked with them and talked with them, the one that had taught them so many things, the one that had died on the cross, and the one that rose again from the dead, this same Jesus, they say, which is taken up from you into heaven, look at it, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Those two men say, why are you standing here looking up into heaven? That same Jesus one day is going to return. That's the promise, the reality of his coming. It would have been nice to be there on the Mount of Olives if Jesus ascended back up into heaven. But again, what I think is even better is seeing him come in all of his glory. And that is a promise that we have as the people of God. The promise that one day the Lord Jesus is going to come again. Now, Peter talks about how in the last days there will be scoffers walking after their own lust who say, where is the promise of his coming? Down through the years, ever since the ascension of Christ, there's been people that doubted the second coming of Jesus Christ. And they're still here now, and they will continue to be on through the last days. That's what the Bible says. There will always be scoffers and people that don't believe Jesus Christ is going to come. And one reason why people don't believe in the second coming of Christ is because it's been so long since he promised to return. They think since such a long period of time has gone by, since the promise was made, then the promise can't be true. So since it hasn't happened yet, they just assume it's not going to happen. There's a lot of things that haven't happened yet that are going to happen. Just because something hasn't happened to date doesn't mean it's never going to happen. As I've mentioned to you before, those of us that are alive, we haven't died yet, but that doesn't mean we're not going to die. If Jesus tarries his coming, we are going to die. We may live to be 70, 80, 90, even 100 years old, but eventually we will. So just because something hasn't happened doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Well, there will always be scoffers who doubt the coming of Christ, but the Bible assures us again and again and again that one day our ever-living Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. He's coming back. And his coming will be in two parts. First of all, there will be the rapture. And then there will be the revelation. There'll be the rapture and then there'll be the revelation. At the rapture, he will come for his saints. At the revelation, he will come with his saints. His coming is our blessed hope. It's what the Bible says we are to be looking for. It's what we are to be longing for. We as the people of God should desire, long, look for our Savior to return. The Bible says looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We should be looking every day, longing every day for our ever-living Lord Jesus to come back. He's going to come back first for his saints. He's going to come and take us out of this world. What a day that will be. What a day that will be when Jesus comes for his saints. Then after the tribulation period, thank God those of us that are saved don't have to go through that time, a time that the Bible describes as the worst time in all of human history. Never has been or ever shall be a time as bad as the tribulation. That's what the Bible teaches. And thank God we don't have to go through that. He's going to come for his saints before that takes place. We'll be raptured out of this world. But then at the end of that tribulation period that's going to last for approximately 7 years, he's going to return with his saints. You can read in Revelation chapter 19 about that second coming of Christ, where he will actually come back down to this earth and fight the battle of Armageddon and establish his kingdom and rule and reign for 1,000 glorious years. And of his kingdom there shall be no end, the Bible says. But he'll come for his saints and then he'll come with his saints. We will come back with him at the second advent. Man, what a picture that is. Revelation chapter 19, you have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, that never dying, that ever living Lord Jesus Christ descending out of heaven on a white stallion. The Bible says that with him are the armies of heaven on white horses. And that's his saints coming with him. He comes for us and then he comes with us. That is the blessed hope that we have, the coming of Jesus Christ. We have that today, that reality. Again, because Jesus rose from the dead. If he had died and not rose, we wouldn't have that promise. We wouldn't have that reality. We would not be looking for that hope if he had not rose from the dead to never die again. These are all wonderful realities we have because Jesus died, rose, and lives forever. He has given us his commission. We know what we're supposed to do. May God help us to do what he has commissioned us to do, to be faithful to preach the gospel of our ever-living Lord Jesus Christ. And he has given us his comforter to help us along the way so that we can carry out this great commission. And so that we can have the comfort we need as we travel along the road of life. And he has given us the promise of his coming to look for. Are you looking for your ever-living Savior to return? Do you long for him to come so you can see his face and be with him forever? I long for that day to come. The old song, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that you sent him down here to be the sacrifice for our sins. Thank you that he rose again the third day victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And thank you that he is our ever-living Lord. And that one day he will return and receive us unto himself. Until then, give us strength and power through your Holy Ghost to be faithful to your commission. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you.